Welcome to Chart and Compass Ministry, a ministry of Christ Lutheran Church in Cape Canaveral, helping you to navigate through the storms of this life by the ever-accurate compass of the Word of God. I'm pleased to share with you today another message from Pastor Greg Lucier, and the message today is titled, What Came Together When Jesus Came?
Grace to you and peace from God on high in our Savior Jesus Christ. Amen. Well, today I thought we could look for a few moments at what great and amazing things came together in Jesus Christ when he was born 2,000 years ago of the Virgin Mary. What great things did God cause to collide or to touch or to kiss, to come together when Jesus Christ was conceived and born? Would you mind closing the doors back there, by the way? That would be fantastic. Thank you. So let's take a look tonight, today at the amazing things for your increased joy this Christmas. What came together in Jesus Christ? Great and amazing things. The first two things that came together when Jesus was born were these two, God and man. And there's certainly nothing more contrary to one another that could come together, more different, I should say, than God and man. God, the immortal, eternal God, the Holy One, and sinful man, mortal man, come together in Jesus Christ and become one in the person of Christ. Let's consider that. Was Jesus really God? Well, we know that the prophecy was, behold, a virgin shall conceive and bear a son and shall call his name Emmanuel. So was he 100% human according to that verse? He's born of a virgin, right? Of a human mother. So he was 100% human. Also, we read in John 1, the Word became flesh and dwelt among us full of grace and truth. So the Word became flesh. It took on. Can you close that door as well, please? We had a lot of sounds back there going on. Thank you very much. This door over on this side. Phones and ringings and all kinds of stuff. That's part of the cheer of Good Christmas, you know? Jingle bells. All kinds of sounds.
Better cheer to hear the Word.
Amen. Amen. Sounds good. So 100% human, the Word took on flesh and dwelt among us full of grace and truth. So he was 100% human. You know, when Jesus was 12 years old, remember, his family went up to Jerusalem to the Passover feast, and we read that the boy Jesus stayed behind in Jerusalem. So he was a boy. He was a person just like us, God. And we know that in John chapter 4, when he was a full-grown man, he came to a city of Samaria called Sychar, and he sat down beside a well. As he was wearied with his journey, it was about the sixth hour. Now, the sixth hour is high noon. So the sun is blazing at its zenith, and he, as a man, is walking along, and he becomes weary. He has the weakness of our own flesh. Think about that. God becoming a man and growing weary. He who cannot become weary, God, is weary and gets tired. We also know that he can bleed and die, as indeed he did at the cross. So in every way was Jesus 100% man. Absolutely. But was he also 100% God? Well, going back again to that verse, behold, a virgin shall conceive and bear a son and shall call his name Emmanuel, which means God with us. And the Word took on flesh and dwelt among us full of grace and truth. That's John chapter 1. Who is the Word? The Word is Jesus Christ in that chapter. And what do we read? In the beginning was the Word was with God, and the Word was God. So 100% man, 100% God was the Lord. And unto us a child has been born, said Isaiah. Unto us a son is given, the government will be upon his shoulder, and his name will be Wonderful Counselor, Mighty God, Everlasting Father, Prince of Peace. So the two first great, amazing things we celebrate in Christ's incarnation, in coming to us at Christmas, was that God and man touched, kissed, and came together in Jesus Christ. That's an amazing miracle. But why? Why did God come down and take on flesh and become a man? That leads to the second one here, is that he came with his righteousness, that R means righteous, 100% righteousness to come and touch 100% our sin. I mean, these are totally diametrically opposed things. Righteousness and sin are opposites. And yet we see in Jesus, when he came down from heaven, perfect righteousness came and touched perfect sin in the Lord in order to save us. Now, does that mean Jesus was a sinner? Absolutely not. Jesus is 100% righteousness, declares Scripture. We can read that. For in John 8, Jesus said to the Jews, "Which of you convicts me of sin? If I tell you the truth, why don't you believe me?" He claimed to be sinless, perfectly 100% righteous. Remember when he was tempted by the devil in the wilderness for those 40 days? He responded to every temptation of the devil with, "It is written, it is written, it is written," showing himself 100% faithful to God. We also know that Hebrews 4 says, "In every way, in every respect, he was tempted in the same way that you and I are, yet without sin." So Jesus was 100% righteousness, but he came to touch our 100% sin in his own person. He came down to live amongst us, a 100% sinful world, and to touch, literally, physically, hold you and touch and speak with you who are 100% sinful. Are we 100% sinful apart from Christ? Absolutely. All have sinned and fall short of the glory of God, declares Scripture. We've all become like one who's unclean. And all our righteous deeds are like a polluted garment. They're not even righteous. We just think they are. And we're all dead through our trespasses and the sins in which we once walked. So think about what we're celebrating today at Christmas. 100% righteousness of God comes to touch our 100% sin for what purposes? For the purpose of coming by his righteousness to take away our sin, to take our sin and give us as a gift his righteousness. We read that. For Peter says, "You know that you are ransomed from the futile ways inherited from your fathers, not with perishable things like silver and gold, but with the precious blood of Christ, like that of a lamb, without blemish or spot." 100% righteousness to redeem and ransom and purchase you. With his cross, with his blood. All we, like sheep, have gone astray. We've turned everyone to his own way. And the Lord has laid upon him the sin, the sin of us all. Put upon him, upon the perfect righteous one, our sin, that he can then take his righteousness and gift it to you freely. And here's the great mystery. 2 Corinthians 5. At the cross, for our sake, God made him, Christ, to be sin. To be sin. Who knew no sin, so that in him we might become the righteousness of God. So what fantastic mysteries we're looking at today. God becomes man. Heaven comes down and touches earth to lift us up to heaven. The Creator enters into his creation with his own righteousness into our sin to take our sin away, to gift us his righteousness, which is what we need to live. This is the great love of God for you. As one man's trespass led to condemnation for all men, says Paul, so Jesus' act of righteousness leads to acquittal and life for all men, justifying you. For as by Adam's disobedience many were made sinners, so by Christ's obedience many will be made righteous. And if because of Adam's trespass death reigned over us through the one man Adam, much more now will those who receive the abundance of grace and the free gift of righteousness reign in life through the one man, Jesus Christ. Are you celebrating this with me this morning? Merry Christmas. You want a present under the tree? Well, look under the cross. There's free righteousness to be gifted to you, to be received by faith. I'll take your sins away, says the Lord. there'll be no more, and I'll gift you righteousness. This is the great celebration we have at Christmas. Thirdly, another amazing thing came together in Jesus Christ, things that you would never think could ever touch. And what was the next one? Was the perfect 100% law of God and came and touched the 100% perfect gospel of God's grace. These two kissed, touched, came together perfectly in Jesus Christ. Is that really true? Well, think about when Christ came. He was born, says Paul, under the law. What happened on the eighth day, right after he was born? He was circumcised and he entered into the covenant, the old covenant of the law. What happened when he grew up? He preached the law to us continually and in full 100% measure. He said things like this: I tell you, unless your righteousness exceeds that of the scribes and the Pharisees, you will never enter the kingdom of God. A lawyer came up one day to test him. Good teacher, what must I do to inherit eternal life? And Jesus says, well, what's in the law? How do you read the law? Well, you shall love the Lord your God with all your heart, soul, strength, and mind, and your neighbor as yourself, he said. Jesus says, you're right. Do this, and you'll live. In other words, how are you going to get saved? How are you going to live? 100% preaching of the law. Keep it, and you'll live. He's preaching the law. And think not that I've come to abolish the law and the prophets. I've not come to abolish them, but to fulfill them. For truly I say to you, says Jesus, till heaven and earth pass away, not an iota, not a dot will pass from the law until all is accomplished. So he came and lived also, keeping the law 100% perfectly for us. For what purpose? Because if you don't keep the law, what happens to you? It has a curse. If you are not keeping this law perfectly, says God, you are under a curse and you will be condemned at the judgment and you'll go to hell. That's a pretty stiff thing. God says, I don't want you to do that, though. I'm going to come and be 100% gospel at the same time. I will fulfill the law for you perfectly, and I will take that curse upon myself, said the Lord. As Paul says, when the time had fully come, God sent forth his Son, born of woman, born under the law, to redeem those who are under the law, that we might receive adoption as sons. Christ became a curse for us on the cross that we might receive the promise of the Spirit through faith, he says in Galatians 3. And so Christ gives us 100% grace. He says, you need this, I'll keep it for you. The two will touch. I will take it away 100%, give you 100% gospel. And then when he dies for us and is raised again and it's asked again in those days, what must I do to be saved? What must I do to inherit eternal life? What's the answer? Keep the law? No way. Now the answer is, believe in the Lord Jesus Christ, and thou shalt be saved, you and your whole household. That's Acts chapter 16. So praise be to God for this great gift too at Christmas. God becomes a man. Heaven comes to earth to lift us up to heaven. The Creator enters his creation to gift us his righteousness, to take away our sin, to fulfill the law, and gift us his grace in the gospel to save you freely. What a free gift. What a great God we serve to be received by faith. The next thing that came together in Jesus Christ, as I see it and as the scripture teaches, is the perfect 100% wrath of God and the 100% perfect love of God. His wrath and anger against sin and his great perfect love for the sinner. Amen? Perfectly in Jesus Christ. And we'll put another one that goes along with that. The perfect justice of God against our sin and the perfect mercy of God to the sinner. These came together absolutely perfectly in Jesus Christ. Did Jesus Christ preach the wrath of God? Well, there were some present at that very time who told him of the Galileans whose blood Pilate had mingled with their sacrifices. And they're like, hey, they died because they're such sinners, right? Jesus answered them, do you think that these Galileans were worse sinners than all the others because they suffered thus? I tell you no. But unless you repent, you will all likewise perish. Does that sound like 100% wrath and justice to you against sin? Jesus is upholding justice. He's upholding wrath. 100% against sin, and he indeed is preaching the truth. Woe to you, Chorazin! Woe to you, Bethsaida! If the mighty works done in you had been done in Tyre and Sidon, they would have repented long ago in sackcloth and ashes. It'll be more tolerable on the day of judgment for Tyre and Sidon than for you. Sounds like pretty strong justice, amen? The wrath of God. He's upholding what was decreed in the Old Testament. Destruction is decreed, overflowing with righteousness. The Lord of hosts, will make a full end as decreed in all the earth. And that's a day of judgment to come. So what do we need to save us from that? The love of God, 100% for the sinner in Jesus Christ. The 100% mercy of God to set you free from and through the justice of God. Why will you die, O house of Israel? God says in the Old Testament. I have no pleasure in the death of anyone, says the Lord, so turn and live. The Lord is good to all, and his compassion is over all that he's made. And Peter says, the Lord is not slow about his promises, some count slowness, but is forbearing towards you, not wishing that any should perish, but that all should reach repentance. Do you see here God's 100% anger and fury against our crimes against him, and his 100% perfect love and mercy to save you? Because he loves you and he delights in salvation, not in judgment. What did Jesus therefore do for us? You know, at the cross, perfect justice came and met perfect mercy. Perfect love for the sinner came against his perfect wrath of God. They all came and touched and collided, if you will, kissed, touched at that cross. The perfect justice of God against sin was fulfilled. Jesus died for your sins and mine. And then the perfect mercy and love of God is now for you, for the sinner, to set you free freely by his grace. For while we were yet weak, says Paul, at the right time Christ died for the ungodly. Why, one will hardly die for a righteous man, though maybe for a good man one will dare even to die. But God shows his love for us. And that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. And since therefore we're now justified by his blood, much more shall we be saved from him, by him from the wrath of God. Since therefore, for if while we were enemies, we were reconciled to God by the death of his son, much more now that we are reconciled, shall we be saved by his life. So a great Christmas present, isn't it, from our Father? He loves you. His justice is strong and his fury great against sin, but his love for you is even greater. And he comes to send his son to save you, to give you, to gift you forgiveness through his justice at the cross, his mercy to overlook your sin and gift you eternal life. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son, that whoever believes in him should not perish, but have eternal life. Have you believed in him today? Have you received a free gift? Receive it today if you haven't, and if you have, rejoice, for it's yours. Another one that we see in Jesus, two more here, is perfect 100% life came and met 100% perfect death when Jesus was incarnate of the Virgin Mary. For who is 100% life? Jesus Christ. Who's 100% death? Us. He came and entered into this horrible situation where you're going to die one day and you're under the power of death. And he is 100% life, come to set you free and to triumph over death by his life and through his own death. For in him was life, says John, and the life was the light of men. John the apostle walked with Jesus, right, for 3 years. And he says, that which was from the beginning, which we've heard, which we've looked upon and touched with our own hands concerning the word of life, we saw it and we testify to it and proclaim to you the eternal life which was with the Father and was made manifest to us. We held him, we touched him, we heard him. Eternal life came to this earth to set us free from death. The two touched and kissed in Jesus Christ. For we indeed were dead through our trespasses and sins. But since we children of God share in flesh and blood, Jesus came down and took upon himself our own flesh and blood, that through his own death, he might destroy him who has the power of death, the devil, and set us free from the fear of death And he says, because I live, now you shall live also. So what we see in Jesus Christ is life triumphs over death. 100% against 100%, and life wins. That's the gift of God we celebrate at Christmas. For fear not, I am the first and the last, says Jesus, the living one. I died, and behold, I'm alive forevermore, and I have the keys of death and Hades. So believe in me, and you're free. And the last one we'll take a look at here is in Jesus we see when he was took on flesh, we see the first world, or the first creation, that is, coming and touching the second world, the new world. The two collide, come together, touch, kiss in Jesus Christ. For the first creation was given to Adam, and the dominion was given to him, our first ancestor, and we're still in this first creation, right? We read of the first creation that it was subjected to futility, not of its own will, but by the will of him who subjected it in hope. In other words, all of the world that we're living in decays, right? You get old, right? You die, right? Your bones wear out, the world wears out, trees die, fish die, animals die, you die. That's the first creation falling apart. But the king of the second world, the new world that's coming, came and entered into this creation in order to save us from this creation, to bring us to the second creation, the new one that's forever, and you live there forever. For we read that the first creation will be set free from its bondage to decay and will obtain the glorious liberty of the children of God. Can you imagine this? The gift of God that's coming, that the whole world is going to be set free from death, and the whole world, animals, creatures, we ourselves, in glory in a brand new world that's forever full of life and righteousness. And you know what? This two creations has already started inside of you because we were buried with him, right? In baptism, in which we were also raised with him, and we were raised to a new life. If anyone is in Christ, he's a new creature, a new creation. The old's passed away. Behold, the new's already come. The king of the new world has already come and done something for you in baptism, gifting you faith in the gospel, that you're actually now immortal. You are alive in your spirit. There is the new world powers already at work in you, though we're still in this first creation. The two are overlapping, kissing, touching each other in Jesus Christ. And he came into our first creation in order to set us free and bring us safely through to his second creation. For just as we have borne the image of the man of dust, we're like Adam, our bodies, they die, we shall also bear the image of the man of heaven. We're going to have a body like Christ's, raised, glorious, immortal, and beautiful. This present world, the heavens and the earth that now exist, have been stored up for fire and the destruction of ungodly men. Oof! This whole world's about to be destroyed. That's the truth. But according to his promise, we wait for a new heavens and a new earth in which righteousness dwells. The king of the new world has entered this creation to save us from it and bring us to the new creation, the world to come that is everlasting. These two met in Jesus Christ. So let's consider these things this morning for your increased joy. Let's go over this one more time briefly. God became a man. The creator entered into and became a creation, he took on flesh, he became a man, the word took on flesh, heaven came down to earth to lift you up to heaven, that he might save you by his righteousness, touching your sin to take it away, that he might give you a blessing instead of a curse, that he might give you the gospel instead of law, grace instead of judgment, to take by his 100% love for you, to take away his 100% wrath against you, to put it away forever, to use his 100% justice to triumph at the cross, to give you his 100% forever mercy, to welcome you in love, by his life to conquer death for us, and then to give us life eternal in his name, to take away all of your fears and to give you eternal good joys and good cheer, to take you from the first world in creation to the second world in creation. This is the gift of God. And so, let's just celebrate our Lord, our Savior, our King, our Father, and our brother Christ, who came to do all these great things for us, and rejoice all the wonders of what those angels told the shepherds long ago. Stop being afraid. Stop being afraid. Fear not anymore. For behold, I bring you good news of great joy, which has come to all the people. For to you is born this day in the city of David a Savior, who is Christ the Lord. Amen.
Thank you for listening to this week's message called What Came Together When Jesus Came, a broadcast of Chart and Compass Ministry of Christ Lutheran Church in Cape Canaveral. I'm Art Hansen, speaking for Pastor Greg Lassier, and if you're looking for a church home or would like to stop by and just visit, our services are at 10 a.m. on Sundays and worship Bible study is at 7 p.m. on Wednesday. Christ Lutheran is located on Highway A1A in Cape Canaveral, right across from the Recreation Center. If you'd like to hear more messages, be sure to visit our website at ChristLutheranChurchCapeCanaveral.org. Thanks for tuning in, and I look forward to sharing God's Word with you again next Monday at 12:30. Have a wonderful week in our Lord Jesus Christ, the great captain of our soul. And God bless you.